founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Mark Vitella. Hey, Mark, how are you doing today?
Feeling like a strong donkey.
Well, the last couple of episodes we've been talking about different aspects of back pain, which is just a massive problem. And yesterday, I was in my front yard, and I noticed a small little shriveled up orange. I don't know how it got there or anything else, in the lawn. So I just leaned over, picked it up, and I went, oh.
And pulled your back, huh?
I had a sore back in my lower right-hand side, and I thought, yeah. Oh.
Isn't
the first thing I thought of was, I've been talking about this with Martin for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Scott, you must be a suggestible fellow.
I must be. It was so funny. So I went into the bathroom and I got some magnesium gel and I rubbed it on there and I kind of stretched out a little bit. And
yeah.
And today is fine. But it reminded me of, and gave me compassion for people that are in pain in their back all the time, because that's a really uncomfortable, hard to ignore thing. And then, of course, the whole day I'm, very careful about how I'm bending over and how I lift my pen up to write something and all these things, because I'm going, oh, just this pain, right?
Oh, and yes.
Dull, achy pain. It was very, very funny.
So imagine if you were living with a constant chronic pain.
Oh, how miserable.
I remember I was like that. I had a disc out, in my worst days. I had a, permanent change in my spine to the point where one of the discs was bulged out and pushing on a nerve. So essentially I was in constant pain.
Wow.
And I tell you, when your back is out, you really find out how tough you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, it just slays the person. At least it slayed me.
Yeah. Well, it's really pretty hard to deal with that pain on an ongoing basis, right?
Yeah.
And so I got thinking about it before we went on the air, and I was thinking that, because we were actually considering moving on to a different topic today, and there was a couple aspects of back pain that I felt like I would like to delve into either some more, or that we really hadn't talked about. And, of course, I know we could talk about back pain till the cows come home, but one of the things that I was thinking about was, there's an obesity epidemic in North America and I'm sure Europe and soon to come to India and China and Brazil. And if I'm a guy and I've got like 50 pounds of fat around my waist, what impact is that going to have on my back?
Well, logically, it will put you out of balance, right? If you have, if you're one of the people with the metabolic syndrome, you will be carrying most of the excess weight right at front, right over your belly.
Yeah.
So obviously, that's going to change the balance, change the dynamics of the whole posture.
It's going to pull everything forward, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
not a pretty situation.
No.
The other way you can create the same effect is put on high heels. So contemplate the other gender.
Right.
They actually voluntarily put themselves out of balance by thinking that they need to look more pretty by putting on high heels.
I never thought of that. That's a great point, Martin.
So
here you have this lovely, slim woman, and she's going to have back pain because she's wearing, 4-inch pumps.
Yeah. Well, especially anything over the 2 inches is, like, 2-inch in my family would be the top end. But anyway, just visualize it, right? What you do is you push up the heels, which means that your butt will have to stick out. That's why we do it, right? We want to see the girls with their behinds really beautifully defined so we can admire it. That's what makes them ever so more desirable.
Right.
But, it leads to the sway back and all of that. Anyway, yes, that's how you can get yourself back pain.
Right. So, now the problem. So let's talk about the overweight aspect of it, right? Because
sure,
that's
absolutely
something that you know, if you were to vent.
High heels are so easy to deal with, right?
Yeah, it can be vain or not vain, and if you're not vain, wear proper shoes that are going to look after your back. But I was, I have this confession to make.
All right.
This weekend, as I mentioned to you before we came on the air, I was at a personal development course, and it was 5 days. And one of the things that I sometimes I'll write other stuff, but like I always look at my goals and what I want to achieve. And one of my goals was to get to 185 pounds, which is I'm quite a bit over that right now.
Oh, you mean you're heavier than that?
I'm heavier than that. And so when I got home, I was rummaging through some paper and cleaning up some stuff and actually throwing out a bunch of stuff. And as I was doing it, I found a sheet of paper where I had written my goals down. Quite a while ago, like years ago. And my goal on that piece of paper was to get to 175 pounds.
Oh, you set yourself up, did you?
So,
but listen, no, there's some logic to this nonsense, and I tell you what that is. You should never use a weight number as a goal.
Okay. Never.
I would recommend you put a pant size on as a target.
Okay.
Like, I can wear my 34-inch jeans.
Okay.
Comfortably. Or I can wear my 32. I don't think that's logical, but let's just say, I don't know, depending on your size, guessing that 185, you probably need to try and fit into 34s, right?
Well, I normally wear a 34 pant, and you're right, my 34 pants are snug.
Yeah.
So, but I can't remember actually ever wearing a 32-inch pant.
Well, okay, we'll try 33 then.
Yeah, 33 is where I was for a long time. So, okay, that's a really good goal then. Okay, I like that.
Right. Never mind the weight, because I tell you why. Because as muscle is nearly twice as heavy as fat.
Mm-hmm.
So, replacing 3 pounds of fat with 1.5 pounds of muscle will not change your weight at all. Oh, I said it wrong, right? But meaning if you took 3 pounds of fat, it will end up weighing 6 pounds in muscle. So you would put on 3 pounds in weight, and yet you have lost 6 pounds of fat.
Right. Cool. And that's of course been my problem over the years, that I've just gotten so much more muscular, right?
Yeah, that's it. Congratulations on your new body lifter and what are they called? Bodybuilder.
Right. So getting back to the overweight bit, because before, when you know, everybody, we always chat a little bit about what we want to talk about before, and then I invariably I say, let's stop and let's put this into the show because it's such good information that Martin gives me. But we had talked about the triple whammy that us human beings get because of the non raw food groups that seem to have so much influence.
You know, I hear you. You know, there's this non-negotiable brain programming. I mean, we are absolutely hardwired for seeking three types of foods, and that is salty, fatty, and sweet.
Yeah.
And this is because in nature, if we were living somewhere back in the forest, where we're designed for that. We're designed for 20,000 years ago forest, right? No civilization. You know, whatever you can kill or whatever you can pull out of the ground or pull off the tree or off a bush. That's it. So ripe berries are sweet. That's when you eat them.
Yep. And that's how we knew when to eat them.
Exactly, by the taste. We seek sweetness.
Yeah, because if you eat them and they're sour, you're not getting the nutrition you want, I guess.
Yeah, the enzymes are off, the sugars are off, all of it.
Yeah.
The second thing is the fatness. You know, we need that mouthfeel of I don't know. I mean, sushi tastes good to me, but I also enjoy something that's been cooked on the fire, you know, like, I don't know, kill me a squirrel and offer it up to me fried, right?
Right, right.
So that sort of thing appeals to my palate. And then the third thing, we do need minerals. I mean, you see animals in the bush go for salt licks. You know, they find some salty place and they be licking it all the time.
Yeah.
And back in the old days, the old trading days, salt was more precious than gold.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, salaries started in the Latin word for salt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was paid to the Roman soldiers in salt.
Huh. And of course, it was in with the salt came all sorts of other things.
Well, yeah, but back then we're dealing with whole salt, so of course it's fully mineralized. It's not just some kind of a refined thing that gives you just a sodium chloride. No, no, it's the full multi-mineral supplement.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is that my brain and yours are totally hardwired for this orgasmic experience that we're given when we eat any one of these three. But these days, the food manufacturers have figured out how to hit you with all three. I mean, it's,
right.
it becomes impossible to resist. You know, for me, garlic bread.
Yeah.
Richly buttered, salted garlic bread. You know, you hit me with that, I can't turn it down.
Yeah. Well, when you think of, you know, Big Macs and French fries, right? So the French fries,
yeah,
you've got the fat, you've got the salt. The Big Mac, yeah, you've got the meat and everything else, but when you think of...
But they actually do put sugar in it.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, absolutely. The pastry is sweet.
Yeah.
The buns are actually sweetened. This is now some years back, but my wife and I were looking for... We moved to a new town, so we wanted to buy pizza. So I said, well, let's try this one. I don't want to go to one of the chain stores. Let's try one of these local, you know, non-franchise pizza stores. I don't know what it was called. Mommy and Poppy's Pizza Place or something like that. And the thing that shocked me was that their dough was sweet.
Wow.
It was, I mean, to me it was really awful, and I rejected it, and we never went back. But I could just imagine how it would be addicting to people. That not only will you get that beautiful greasy feel of the cheese and the savory tomato and the greasy sausage and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm just describing it makes my mouth water, and I have not had pizza in years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why didn't I have pizza in years? Well, because I know better, right? I know different. I now understand that this is a trap. I now understand that this is how they get to me.
Yeah.
And
so if you're aware, then you can start substituting and putting in stuff that satisfies your desire for sweet fats and salts, but is in a nutritious manner. Because as we've said over and over again, we're living high calorie, low nutritious, low density nutrients instead of low calorie, high density nutrients.
Right. Yeah, that's actually an excellent point. Just before we started recording, I finished my smoothie. And it has a teaspoon of Himalayan salt brine in it, and it has 2-3 teaspoons of coconut oil in it. So there's my salt, and there's my fat. And I had some blueberries and apple in it, so there's my sweet. So I do essentially the same thing, except I do that with, as you said correctly, the high nutrient density food. So anyway, going back to the back pain, the reason a person will start carrying all this extra weight is because he has not figured out that the food manufacturers are cheating him. They're robbing him of his health. and they're doing it because he's buying it, right? I mean, it's our own stupidity. Me as a consumer, multiplied by millions, I am buying the fast food, high salt, high sugar, high fat meal because I'm attracted to it. But I need to use my reason, I need to use my mind to override it and say, I understand I want these tastes, but I need to get it in a different package. I have to get it in a high nutrient density package, not this.
Yes.
So you can you can have your cake and eat it too. Oh dear.
Yeah. So okay, so here we've discussed, you know, what the problem is and what we need to do about it, but the biggest part of that and the hardest part of that is how to do it. And I got to jump in and say thank you very much for telling me to stop talking about and thinking about numbers and think about waist size. That's actually really helpful for me.
Yes,
because I was a bit harsh when I was thinking about 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, my goal was 175, and now it's 185. It's like, oh my God. But, so okay, so we have this obesity problem. What are some things that we could do to get some high nutrient stuff into our bodies instead of low nutrient stuff, or stuff that has no nutrients?
Right, so number one is this realization that the entire food industry has conspired against us. Because they will feed us the cheapest thing that they can make. And the cheapest thing are the three grains, soy, corn, and wheat. These things are subsidized by the American government. They are distorting just about everything there is about our nutrition. You know, it's anybody who wants to make money at making food will find some way to buy the cheapest ingredient and make it taste the best, the nicest, and make the biggest markup on it. That's just the way it has to be.
Right.
It's the logic of the business. So things like donuts and pizza and hamburger, well, more than hamburger would be the fried chicken and especially the French fries and all of the other stuff that goes along with it. Those are the things that you will be addicted to the most, and they will provide the least of useful nutrients. These are the things that are making you the fattest, the quickest. So, just, you know, put on your thinking hat. What else can I do? What can I do instead?
Right.
And the instead, of course, is raw food. If you eat a salad, I don't care how big the salad you eat, you know. Like, I remember when I switched, I was bringing to work. I used to be in the corporate world out there back when. I would bring a gallon-size tub of salad and a 1 ounce shot of oil dressing. You know, like I would make my own lemon oil, olive oil. I mean, not lemon oil, lemon juice, olive oil, spices and salt. And some, you know, I would usually bring rice or potatoes or something to go with it. But anyway, the point was, I remember these women, you know, asking me, how can you eat so much? Look how skinny you are. The point is, by the time you're finished with the gallon-sized salad, just chewing of it probably burned more energy than there was in all of that salad altogether.
Right.
But so anyway, when I give advice to anyone who's asking me about nutrition and diet, they say, I don't care how much raw fruit or vegetable you eat. Unlimited. The only thing I'm asking you to limit is the concentrated food. At any one meal, make it no bigger than the size of your hand or the size of your fist. So if you hold out your hand, it's probably going to be the size of a small steak or the size of a half of a chicken breast. Or if you make a fist, it's going to be probably like a bowl full of rice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually plenty of food. Anyway, so that's how
true.
You
get that. That is a lot of food.
Yeah. Anyway, the point that I would like to get to is this. When you eat a lot of calories, like if, for instance, you were to eat a meal that's going to satisfy you, but it's going to be all concentrated food, you know, like two fists worth of rice or two fists worth of meat. If you do that, you're going to give yourself an excess of calories. Once they're in your body, the only way through is to burn it. So what happens when you're burning calories? You're creating this, I mean, visualize it as fire. It really is like that. And inside each one of your cell, there's a little furnace, the mitochondria, and as it's burning up this energy, this sugar, it actually happens at a temperature that's damaging to the cell itself. And you have these antioxidants that are holding it in check. So if you were to visualize something like a charcoal briquette on fire, hot, you could hold it in your bare hands, but the only way you could hold it is if you tossed it from one hand to the other, so the contact would be ever so brief, so it couldn't actually fry your skin. Of course, we know that there's such a thing as mind over matter and walking through fire, but for now...
Yeah, we won't bother going there.
For now, just the point of tossing the ember or tossing the charcoal from one hand to the other in such a way that it doesn't burn you. And that's how the team of antioxidants work. The vitamin A throws it to vitamin C, and C throws it to B, and B throws it... You know, it's like a whole team of things, and it's just like bumping it around until the energy is extinguished. If, however, there are not enough of the antioxidants to hold it in place, to hold it from being in contact with your vital tissue, you end up singeing it, which presents itself as oxidative damage.
Yeah.
Oxidative damage equals aging. Wrinkles, thinning skin, graying hair, thinning hair, sagging bits, all of that. That's oxidative damage. So it was found, for instance, that researchers created a reduced calorie experiment. In one experiment, they fed the rats a load of food, lots of. And the other group was getting 30% less than what they would naturally eat. You know, like you can see them eat whatever they wish, and then you cut them by 30% back. And the group that was eating more than what they would naturally eat was the sickest and was dying the youngest. The rats that had, you know, free rein, eat whatever you want, they were okay, but they died at this particular, you know, typical expected lifespan. But the rats that had reduced calorie intake lived by 50% longer. So there are now people out there who practice the reduced calorie lifestyle, where they specifically and consciously eat less calories than what you would expect. And they're the healthiest bunch. They're looking skinny, but they're really healthy. And they're,
right.
aging really slowly. So, what did I accomplish here? If you're overweight, the only way out of here is to switch to high nutrient density. There is a way to feel satisfied with the food you eat. You can have a full belly. You don't have to do this crazy portion control like the Weight Watchers practices. What you can do is, the only portion that you need to control is the concentrated food part of what you're going to eat.
So, is there a way, because we really live in an instant gratification society. I often call it the McDonald's culture, where we need to have something now. Is there a mm-hmm. way for me to quickly get, and this I know is a leading question, to quickly get some high-density nutrients into our bodies easily?
Well, buy my super foods.
Yeah, That's where I wanted to go with, right? Like a couple.
That's good.
A couple spoonfuls.
Yeah, I mean, the most convenient, absolutely the most convenient thing is the superfood blend. You know, there are raw things out there, such as spirulina, chlorella, blue green algae, alfalfa, barley, kamut, you know, those grasses and algae and that sort of thing. You can buy them individually and build your own, or you can buy a ready mix, something that's been carefully thought through and put together and put in a bottle. So all you have to do is open one or maybe two bottles instead of spend 20 minutes putting together your morning meal, right?
Right.
So, yeah, those work phenomenally well. And, of course, if you find yourself at a steakhouse, you can still practice high calorie density, high nutrient density, by ordering a big salad and a small steak.
Right.
Or if you want to be a vegetarian, then of course you can go with the baked potatoes and big salad. I have yet to find or be in a restaurant where I couldn't get a decent meal that would be actually slimming.
It's just a matter of making the right choices and knowing what choices there are to make.
Right. Except I need to take this back. I've never found it in Kentucky Fried Chicken. Their coleslaw pretends to be raw, but it's so loaded with mayonnaise that it's an impossibility.
Right.
But you know, McDonald's makes a salad that's actually decent. Wendy's makes a salad that's actually very good. So, what the heck? It's out there.
Cool. All right. So that's the. That's the secret if you're overweight: high density nutrients,
yes.
Low calories.
And right. Offload the lever that your belly puts on your back, so it's easier for you to walk, easier to bend over. I mean, exercise is a must, really.
Right. Exercise is a must, but
taking every joint to the full extent of the range of motion that you're capable of.
Yeah. And if you're starting out and you're wondering what to do about this, then I really think the trick is to get one of the Exela products, either the Zoetine, which is really good protein, or the Iridesa, which I just love. And what you do is just add that. I mean, if you wanted to plan, in my opinion, I would say just add it. First thing in the morning, drink the Iridesa. Around lunchtime, I have a bowl of cereal and I mix it in, and then I eat it with the cereal, and that's how I get the Zoetine. So basically, the beginning of the day, you have got a good start. After you've done that, it's, you know, sit for a second and think, okay, my habit is to make some bacon and eggs, or my habit is to make some pancakes, or my habit is to have some crepes, or whatever it is that. Muffins, right? Coffee and muffins whatever.
Yeah.
Do I really feel like I need to have it, or am I satisfied?
Right.
Because the habit is what happens, right? You have this habit, and you're not even thinking about it. And what I notice, because I have the Iridesa first thing in the morning, is I'm full. It's really weird, right? I'm drinking just like a drink of a glass of water, except it's got this green thing in it, stuff mixed in it, and I drink it, and I go, I'm full for an hour or 2 hours, and then I'll have, cook an egg or something like that. And that's what I'll have for my breakfast, and but I'm good. And I always ask myself, are you full? Yeah, I am actually. So great, don't need to cook anything.
Yeah, and I would recommend coconut. I really think it's the most wonderful thing. Coconut oil by the spoonful, you know.
Yeah.
Just don't be afraid of it. It won't put weight on you. It'll taste wonderful. I mean, I just take a whole teaspoon of it and lick it. Tastes good to me.
It does. And it's good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, you know, not all coconut is made equal. I must tell you, you know, the stuff that we have found, the company that supplies us, is using centrifuged never heated coconut fat, and it's just fantastic. You know, like I have tried all kinds of coconut oils out there, and it's not the price, it's how it's put together.
Just like anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course, you see, that's the coconut that I use, so I would never have thought of any other ones.
Oh, I have become your supplier.
You're my supplier, you're my pusher.
Yeah, that's it. I was trying to think of the word. I don't even know what they call it, but now that I hear you say it, I know that's what it is.
Well, if we're really desirous of fats, as one of those three things you said at the beginning, and I can take a little spoonful of coconut oil and I can get all the good fats in a way that my body can burn it for energy, what I've noticed happens is I don't have a craving for McDonald's French fries. I don't have all these cravings that come up for those fats because
you've satisfied the craving.
I've satisfied the craving, and I have more energy. So it seems like a really good
combination.
You know, the alternative is spending like $10,000 on a back operation, right?
And that is really not a solution.
No.
You know, I'm infusing two discs, two vertebrae together or something like that. That's not a pretty situation.
Nope. And how much do you lose because you can't work? I mean, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, if you've got all this pain, what are you willing to do to stop it?
Okay. Well, I need to go forward two more steps, you know. Like, if you have a damage like that, you definitely need to get on the platinum plus amino acids.
Yeah.
Those are an excellent product for dealing with damaged discs. You know, it's not just any amino acids. They need to be free form. You know, like there are amino acid supplements out there, but, you know, Away is an amino acid supplement, quote unquote, but the aminos are not free form. They're locked up. If your body's already in compromised health, you need to get free form. The second is not just any formula. You need to have it in correct ratios. You can't just go get 100 mg of each of the essential amino acids. That doesn't work. They need to be in the correct ratio. Third thing, you need to have sulfur with it, because sulfur is the element that's required for protein assembly. And third thing, you have to have molybdenum in it as a catalyst. Because if you don't have that the entire assembly reaction doesn't work anyway. So don't think just any old amino acid will do it. You need to have the right one.
Yes.
I was trying to explain this to a person, and I just loved the analogy that came to me, which was, if you want to play a game of football and you want to win it, you have to have the offensive team, you have to have the defensive team. You have to have the massage people, the coaching people, the assistant coaches, the works.
Yep.
Even the people who look after the equipment and the laundry and, you know, all of the stuff that is required to put on a football game that is a winning game. All you need to do is take out one or two of your linebackers and you're done. So, in a similar way, you know, this amino acid formula, if it's not the right amino acid formula, all you have to do is just get one or two things wrong in it, and it will never work.
Yeah. That's right.
So, folks, this is time-tested, well-designed. If you want to repair any damage to either your discs or your tendons, ligaments, or cartilage, that's the sort of supplement you need. So there
you go. Well, Martin, I think that's a good place to end this week's episode. Some great information as always, and I really want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day, because I know you have a lot of people that listen and they call you and ask for more details, more information for their specific situations. And if there's anyone that doesn't know how to get a hold of you by now, how could they?
All right, www.life-and-health.com. www.enthusiast, E-N-T-H-U-S-I-A-S-T, .com, or dial 1-866-543-3388. We're there from 8 to 8 Pacific time, 11 to 11 Eastern. That's America. If you're calling from somewhere else, figure it out. I still do get calls from all over, Europe especially, even South Africa and Thailand. I'm always impressed when somebody rings and starts talking. Hong Kong calls from time to time. It's really cool.
That is really neat. And it's exciting. Well, you know, we are listened to in over
100-something
countries. Yeah. Over 80, but I think it's over 100. So that's really cool. So thank you very much, and thank you everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for calling. Restoring vitality to you and to the planet.